Everyone, just want to give each one a very warm welcome tonight. Thank you so much for coming out to hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you turn with me to Luke 15, please? Luke 15. And verse 11. Luke 15 and verse 11. Before I read that, I'll actually read the first two verses of Luke 15. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So that's the context here. So now to verse 11. And here he speaks of the lost son, the lost son. And he said, "A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me.' And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous or sinful living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine or pigs. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, 'How many hired servants of my father have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, and he had compassion, and ran, and fell on his neck, and kissed him. And the son said unto him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven, and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring forth the best robe, and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead, and is alive again. He was lost, and is found.' And they began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants, and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, 'Thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound.' And he was angry, and would not go in. Therefore came his father out, and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, 'Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid, that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which has devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf.' And he said unto him, 'Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It is meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.'" Now the father said this two times in this story. He said this two times here, that his son was lost and is now found. And that is really primarily what is on my mind today, is how we are lost and we need to be found. And the Bible has the answers. The Bible has the answers for all of these issues that we face between us and God. And God has made the first move. And the songs that we sang about Christ, and I'm not sure if you were touched, but that one song, "Nailed Upon Golgotha's Tree," it touches me every time. Who is he? Who is he? It is God's only son upon a cross. You can't make that up. That story is so divine. It is what God has done. And that is what we want to talk about tonight, is what Christ has done for you, for your soul. And also what is on my mind is the necessity of being saved tonight, the urgency of being saved. Because I was driving in Winnipeg the other day up by Chief Peguis Trail, and I saw a sign on the side of the road, and it said this, missing. It said missing. And it had a picture of a man on there and his face and his name. And on there it said missing. And it really touched my heart as I thought about that, as I thought about lost and found. This man was lost. And everywhere, people driving past, they looked at this sign of this man missing. And he was lost. And I was just thinking, how many of us here tonight, if we come to heaven and there's a door and all the ones who are saved are inside, would there be a sign outside missing with your name on it? And I was just thinking about the urgency of that, the reality of that, missing, and your name being on there. Even tonight, if you're still alive, you can be found. You don't have to be lost forever. And that is why Jesus Christ came. But here, also I want to talk about how a sinner turning and a father receiving. A sinner turning and a father receiving. Now, in this story, and this has been a story of many of us, the prodigal son. Many of us have been there where we ran away from home and we were prodigals. We lived a sinful lifestyle. It might be your story tonight, but we have this here in the Word of God. And this man committed a sin that was a very serious sin, I would say, a very selfish thing that he did. He asked his father for his inheritance before his father even died. So he asked for his inheritance before his father even died. And he wanted to go and live it up. And he could not wait, in a sense, till his father passed, that he even asked him before that he would like to have his inheritance given to him. And what does the Bible say? It says that he went and lived a riotous life, a sinful lifestyle. And we find him there in a faraway country. And there he is living in sin, away from God, away from, but here it is, his father. And the Lord Jesus Christ is telling this story to show forth, I believe, the heart of God. Because at the very start of this, the scribes and Pharisees say, look, he receives sinners. Not only does he receive sinners, he eats with them. They would never have done that according to the law or according to their self-righteousness. They thought that they were so holy, they were proud, and they would never stoop to talk to a sinner or even eat with them. But there was such a difference between Christ and them. And that is really what the Lord Jesus Christ is trying to, with these stories. First story he tells is of a lost sheep that went astray, and he went after that lost sheep until he found it. He loves sinners. He didn't shrink away from their accusation. He's emphasizing, yes, that is why I came. And he says, I will go after that one lost sheep until I find it. But not only that, the next thing he's telling about here is a lost coin. So three things are lost: the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. And the lost coin is also, it is lost. And here we have a picture of the Holy Spirit sweeping until, there's this woman here that's sweeping until she finds it. Until she finds it. And that is the work of the Holy Spirit. He is working in your life to bring you to Christ. And now we have the Father. The first one was the Son going after that lost sheep, the Lord Jesus. Then it's the Holy Spirit seeking a lost soul, the lost coin. And now we have the lost Son, and the Father is seeking him. And tonight, that is really what I want to share with you. Dear child, if you're here tonight, the Lord Jesus Christ wants you to know. And that is really what I believe is so beautiful about this story. It touches me every time. Is that the Father, well, we'll get to that, is running. He is running towards him. He wants you to be saved. He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The Word of God says that. But how can this, and I want to bring the gospel in, because in this story, you don't really read about the cross and what really happened. How can God, who is holy, how can he meet the sinner who is unholy, who is sinful? How can this happen? And we read here how he says, this Son, he came to himself, and what does he say? I have sinned. I have sinned. Now tonight, that is something that each person has to recognize, that they have sinned before a holy God. And really, what do we read in Romans 3, verse 23? It says, not only I have sinned, all have sinned and have come short of the glory of God. All have sinned, which is very inclusive. It means everybody has sinned and come short of the glory of God. And we come to the Garden of Eden, and there we find how did sin come into the world? How did this separation happen? And here in the story, when the Son was lost, and the Father's over here, what happened in the middle there to bring them together even in us before God? How can this happen? How can the Father run towards the Son if he's got all his sin on him? The Holy Father in heaven run towards a sinful human being. How can that happen? Well, in the Garden of Eden, we find that man was placed in there in this perfect environment. And God said, you can eat of all the trees of the garden, but of the middle tree, of that tree, you cannot eat of it. For the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. And what did Adam and Eve do? We all know the story. They ate of that tree. Sin entered into the world, and the scripture says death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. All have sinned. And tonight, that is, so I'm sharing these things with you because I want to share with you what God did to reconcile us, that he might be able to forgive us and run towards the sinner and save him. And there, what do we find? That sin separates from God. You see, God is a holy God. In fact, it was immediately after they sinned that God came after them, and he said, Adam, where art thou? And that is really, where are you tonight in relation to God? Where art thou? And right after that, he put them forth out of the garden, and there was two angels with flaming swords that made a barrier that could not be crossed anymore. God could no longer in fellowship, in sweet fellowship, walk with man. They had to be put forth out of his garden. So now we have this great predicament. And you might have grown up in religion, like I did, where people try to get to God, and they make up a God in their own image, and they try to get to God in a different way than what the Bible says. Scripture says that mankind is lost. What religion says is, let's patch it up and try to make ourselves look better, and we will try to get to God that way or this way. And we'll read later how God does it. God says, no, you need altogether new clothes. You need altogether a new standing. You need a new ring. You need new shoes. You need everything made new. You need to be made a new creation. And that really is what God sent his Son to do. And so we have this problem. And that problem is sin. And that son here, that man, he recognized this. And do you recognize that tonight? Do you recognize that you are a sinner, just like I am? We are all sinners. May this grip your heart tonight, that before God, I am a sinner. I have sinned. One sin will keep me out of heaven. It will keep me from a holy, holy, holy God. One sin will, because of one sin, and we obviously mean a thousand sins, because we sin so many times, we cannot be in God's holy heaven the way we are. We need to have a new standing. And this man, he came to himself. Here he was in a far country, and he had wasted all of his money in sinful living. And what happened? He had no more money, and his friends left him. And what happened then? He began to be hungry, and he went into and he was taking care of some pigs, and he went and ate the pig's food. That's how low he came. And he was there in a faraway country, and that is really what religion does. It leaves you there. It cannot bring you closer to God. It is something that will completely rob you from any kind of relationship with God. It will keep you from God. So there's no other hope in religion or anything else. And then we find this man here, and he says these important words, as we've been saying, I have sinned. And I love this. He says, I will go to my father. He turned around. That is what repentance is. He is right. I am wrong. God is right. His word is true. He cannot lie. He says, I am a sinner. I acknowledge I am a sinner. He says, I am worthy of death and to be in hell forever. I agree. This is true because God says it. And God cannot lie. So we find here is that our problem, but God says, I want to save mankind. I love people. And that is really what struck me today as I was studying this. And I was thinking about these verses. He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Tonight, you here tonight, God is not willing that any should perish. And we find this beautifully exemplified in the following verses. He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So what does God do? He is not willing that no man perish. Adam and Eve were put out of his garden, but it was not God's ideal will. God wanted mankind to have fellowship with himself. And he says, I will bring them back to myself. I will reconcile. Which means I will bring them to me. I will reconcile them back. They have gone astray. I will reconcile them back to myself so that we can have fellowship again. And then God sends forth his son. And that is, he is so different than us, the Lord Jesus. He sent his son, his name, we read this morning in Luke, and they shall call his name Jesus. What does his name mean? Jehovah, God saves. They shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from what? From their sins. He is going to bring an end to sin before God. And tonight, that is really why Jesus Christ came. That is why religion, they try to get rid of sin by turning over a new leaf, saying, I will not do this again. I will give to the poor. I will give to charities. I will try to do the best that I can. But sin is still there. It has not been removed. It is still on the person. And God is in the business of removing sins completely. Removing it completely from us. So it may never be put before his eyes again in his presence. But how can this happen? Well, that is why he sent his son Jesus. Jesus came to exterminate, to take away, to get rid of sin. He came to forgive us from our sins. And we read of how he came. He was going to be called not only Jesus, but Emmanuel, God with us. Only God can deal with the problem of sin. He is the only one, and it was only his plan that he's going to get rid of sin forever before his presence. God with us. Jesus Christ is both man, truly man. He was a true man. He was born in Bethlehem and truly God. He is truly God. God with us. So when Jesus walked upon the earth, he looked like a real normal human being, but he was completely different. He was different in his life. Today we're thinking about the frankincense. The wise men came and they gave him frankincense, which speaks of his fragrant life. When people looked upon him, there was nothing that they could point of and say he sinned. Nothing. Can you imagine a person like that? No sin. I can't imagine myself, because we're so riddled with sin. But Jesus was completely different. We read in Hebrews, he was holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. Completely separate. He was different. Why was he so different? Because he was God. He was God walking amongst men. And he did miracles. He showed forth his glory. There was water that he turned into wine. And he says this he did to manifest forth his glory. That he was God. And this one here, but yet we find that he was rejected of men. You would think that such an amazing person as Christ, so full of love and truth and holiness and grace and mercy, so full of all these attributes of God, you would think that people would be amazed and say, wow, I want him. I want him near me. I accept him. But no, he was rejected. And what did they say at the cross? Away with this man. Away with him. We do not want him to reign over us. We do not want him to be our king. Away with this man. And yet we find him on the cross. But this is unique. That is actually why he came. It boggles the mind, the human mind, to think here is God, the Lord Jesus Christ, on a cross. How can these things be? But yet, that was ever in the mind of God. We read from our brother this morning, he mentioned it, how he was as a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. It was God's plan. Before mankind ever sinned, before he even made man, he had provided, he knew all that was going to happen, and he had provided his son. He was as not only to come upon the earth and live upon the earth, but to be the sacrifice, the lamb. You see, God, he demands there be a sacrifice for sin because he is holy. He is a good judge. Now, a good judge has to be fair, and he has to be honest. And that's what we see with God. We think of the bad judges on the earth, in this world, and we see them making judgments on certain crimes that we find reprehensible. We find it so unjust. But a good judge is a just judge. And God is the best of all judges. He says that thou shalt not lie. And we have lied. A good judge has to punish sin. He said thou shalt not, and we have. And yet God, being the just God that he is, and the just judge that he is, he cannot overpass our sins. He cannot look over them and say, I'll turn a blind eye to them. That is a bad judge. But now, how is God going to righteously meet his own requirements for the judgment of sin? And that's why we come to the cross. It is such a great plan of God. It can only have been designed in the mind of God, the mind of an eternal God. There we find Christ on the cross. And we hear these words. There was three dark hours on the cross. And we see the sun being darkened. And that is such a picture of the whole world was darkened, because the sun was darkened. So that means that the whole world was darkened in 3 hours. The whole world that was in sin. But God dealt with the sin of the whole world. And there in the darkness, we read this cry. We hear about this cry in the Word of God. My God, my God, why have you forsaken me? My God, why have you forsaken me? So tonight, that is the question that we ask each child or each older person who has not yet been saved. Why was Jesus forsaken? Why was he forsaken? My God, why have you forsaken me? And we read in the Psalms, in Psalm 22, where that cry was prophesied, I believe it was 1,000 years or so before the cross. We read, if you read a little bit further, it says, but you are holy. You are holy. The reason why God forsook Jesus is, as Scripture says, our sins were laid upon him, and Jesus bore them on the tree. It says, cursed is everyone that hangeth upon a tree, and he was made a curse for us. That is really, it also says, he who knew no sin was made sin for us, that we might be made a righteousness of God in him. And God in his holiness had to forsake Christ, because there he was, all of our sins were laid upon him, and God punished him. It says in Isaiah 53 that he, God, has put him to grief. It says, it pleased the Lord God to bruise him, to bruise him. So there we find Christ, and there he is on the cross. He had never done any sin of his own. He was only loved people. He only did righteousness, and he was holy, and he was separate from sinners. He only did great and wonderful things, and yet he is on a cross suffering such an awful death. Not only an awful death, but being punished by God on the cross. And that's why we read at the end of it, we read this, finished. It is finished. We heard that in last week in gospel meetings. Finished. It's a finished work. Christ has done it all. He has done everything necessary. He has, now all of a sudden, this problem, this great problem between us and God, this sin problem, this, here we are, God is over here, there's this sin problem here that before that could never be bridged. All of a sudden, Christ takes away that sin problem. And all of a sudden, we find the Father, he's seeing the Son. He's seeing a Son, and we think of the Son was, he was thinking, how can I come to my Father again, and how will I ever be acceptable to him again? I will say to him, I just want to be your servant. I'm not worthy anymore to be called your son. That is true repentance. He is so broken. He is broken because of his sin and his riotous living. Are you tonight broken? Do you recognize that your sins are an offense against God? Have you recognized that tonight? And have you turned around and said, I will go to my Father. I will go to God. And now all of a sudden we find, and we've talked about this, how God is satisfied. It is finished. And we find that in 3 days, Christ rose again from the dead. And we read in Scripture that it was because it was to show that the Father was satisfied. That God is completely satisfied. He raised his Son from the dead to show the whole world that he is satisfied. And here we find this satisfaction with the Father running towards a sinner. If you turn around and you accept Christ, you will find the Father running towards you. He will never, ever push you away. The Lord Jesus Christ says that himself. He says, all who come to me, I will never cast out. I will never cast them away. He wants you to come to him. God has done everything possible. The gospel is amazing. When we think of God, we were enemies of God. We did not want to be with God. We want to be far away from him. Yet God comes and pursues a relationship with mankind. He makes an end of sin through Christ's death. And now he says, I am satisfied. Come. And we see this. And I just love this story. Think of this son, how he came to his father. And I love this. When the father saw him afar off, which means, I believe, that the father was looking for him day by day. He was looking for his son to return. And dear child, tonight, God wants you to turn to him. He wants you to be saved. He wants you to turn, look to him, come to him. He says, all who come to me, I will never cast out. And as soon as you turn around and come to him, he will meet you. He will meet you. And we find this, I find this fascinating. We see a father running to make up the distance between his son. He's running. He wants to save the Father in heaven I'm thinking of. But this father here as well, he sees his son coming from far off. And he saw him. He had compassion on him. He ran, that's verse 20, fell on his neck and kissed him. Such tender love. The father kissing the son. Even though he could have been very well hurt that his son wanted him dead and wanted to have the inheritance and live a sinful life. But no, he loved his son. He loves people. God loves people. In the older son, we see this idea there that don't have anything to do with him. Like the Pharisees are a little bit like that. The Pharisees are a little bit like that. They said, he eats with sinners. And he sits with them. And you could see that they just were caught up with the sins. But God loves people. And we find that here. He loves people. This his brother said, look at what he's done. No, you should not make him a fatted calf. But God, but this father runs to him. And he says this, and I love this. He says, bring forth the best robe. That's verse 22. The father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe, clothing, and put it on him. For indeed he was probably in rags. He probably didn't really have too much clothes even. And he says, give him the best robe. I mean, look what his son has done. But he says, this shows the heart of the father. And I think this is so beautiful for us to appreciate, even as Christians, is to see the heart of the father, even towards us. Sometimes we are prodigal sons as well, as Christians even. And we find that God, his heart is towards us. Look how loving he is. He says, put upon him the best robe. Put a ring on his hand. A ring, which speaks of, I love this, the best robe speaks of his standing. He is robed, we are robed in Christ. I love that. Put a ring upon his finger, which speaks of the royalty. Everyone can see it. This is a signet of royalty. And put shoes on his feet. I love this. Our walk, scripture says, walk ye in him. Christ is our very walk. God wants to change the whole person, everything about us. And that is why we have to be born again, the scripture says. There has to be a completely new, when we come and turn around and say, I have sinned, but Lord, I take your only son, Christ. You have provided him for me. Just turn around and come as you are. And God, that's what this man did. He had all this preconceived statements that he was going to say, I'm going to say this, I'm going to say that. But you know what? That meant nothing to the father. The father just loved him. And it is, we find this, the satisfaction of God in Christ here. And now we can, to the sinner, he can love the sinner. Whoever comes to him, he will never say no. But there is also that danger of rejecting him. There's a danger of rejecting him, missing, lost. Are you missing today? Are you lost? And are you saying no every day to God's salvation, to God's provision? When there would be a, how do I say this? If there could be a picture in heaven, and there's a sign outside the door that said missing, it really hit me. It really hit me hard when I thought about that. In reality, this is reality. This is real. What we're seeing here tonight is real. This is the word of God. God says these things. This is not something to put off. This is not something that is a fairy tale. This is real. This is you might be standing outside with no way to enter in, because if you pass from here to the next life and you're not saved and you are lost and you're not found, you will be in hell. That's what Scripture says. You will be in hell forever and ever and ever. This is real. And tonight, may this grip your soul. This is something that is very, very urgent, because you do not know when you will step into eternity forever. Now, if you're saved, you'll be with the Lord. That is a precious, that's such a precious thing to, as Paul says, to depart and to be with the Lord. But if you are lost, God forbid, if you are lost, you will not be in heaven. Scripture is clear about that. The Christ rejecting one, the one who says no every day and does not come to God and say, I have sinned, and turn around and come towards the Father. If you do not do this, God is pleading with his heart. He is not willing that any should perish. He has done it all. He has made it all available. It is a gift. He says, my son, I'll give him to you as a gift, my precious son. I'll give salvation in him as a gift. Just take it, receive it, believe it. Trust me, and you will have everlasting life with me forever. And your sins will be removed. And then you'll be able to go to God's heaven. Sins being removed, gone, washed away clean by the blood of Christ. And you will be saved. So tonight, may we never find your name missing in the Lamb's Book of Life. That would be such a tragedy. Lost. But tonight, praise God, you can be found. And Jesus Christ has done it all. God has done it all. And tonight, he just wants you to acknowledge your wicked sin. And he wants you to turn around and receive his precious son. And you will be saved forever tonight. And God's heart is running towards the sinner. He wants you to just turn around and he will meet you. So let's pray and then we'll